Let's talk about the words we speak. God places great importance on the words we speak. They are either words of life or words of death. Words of life originate with God Almighty. He is the life giver, and they give us life. Words of death originate with the devil, and therefore kill us. God wants each of us to examine our mind to discern between the true Holy Spirit words that we have and the false evil spirit words that we have. As it tells us in 1 John 4:6, there is a spirit of truth and a spirit of error. God also wants us to examine what we hear in order to decide if we want to accept into our mind certain things that come to us. As in 1 John 4:1, it says, "Try the spirits, whether they are of God." And 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "To prove all things, and hold fast to that which is good." The Bible is the authoritative source we can use to let us know what words we should keep and what words we should forsake. God stresses many times throughout the Scriptures the importance that should be placed on the words we speak. In fact, Proverbs 18:21 says to us, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Consequently, we need to know exactly what words we have within our minds and what words are coming out of our mouths. Matthew 12:34 says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." We may not have realized it, but the words we speak do have an effect on other people. Just as words we speak can produce either life or death within the hearer, the very same words are producing even life or death within our own mind. With God's scriptures to teach us, we can know what God does and does not want us to speak. We can also know which words are life and which words are death. It is also important that we understand we are accountable for the words we speak. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Here we see we're to answer with meekness and fear. Meekness means to be teachable or open-minded, as it says in Psalm 25:9, "The meek will he guide in judgment, the meek will he teach his way." To fear means to honor or listen to, as in Malachi 1:6, where honor and fear are equated. Jesus said in John 8:49, "I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me." Jesus was honoring or listening to God's words within his own mind, but when he would speak those words out to the Jewish leaders, they would not honor or listen to him. In effect, they were not listening to God, because it was God's words that Jesus was speaking. The one we are to listen to and be taught by is God. As it says in John 6:45, "They shall all be taught of God." In John 14:26, Jesus told his apostles, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Jesus was telling the apostles that the words he had sown into their mind would need to be brought to their remembrance. He also told them in Matthew 10:19-20, "Take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." It would be God's Spirit that would teach them what to speak by bringing to their remembrance, in other words, quickening the words that Jesus had spoken to them. Just as Jesus had said, "All things whatsoever I have said unto you." Jesus was sent to preach God's word, as it says in Luke 4:43, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." The scripture also states in John 3:34, "He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God." The apostles had been taught words from Jesus. Jesus was sent. And they later received the Holy Ghost to quicken these words. They were now ready to be vessels for God to work through, as it says in John 20:21, "Even as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." If we have God's word planted within our mind by someone that is sent, and we receive a deeper depth of God's Holy Ghost, his Spirit, to bring the words to remembrance, we too can be ready to answer every man with meekness and fear. God knows what each soul has need of, and if we are meek or teachable and fear or listen to God, then God can quicken the particular words within our mind that another person needs to hear. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Grace is a deeper depth of God's Holy Spirit, His Holy Ghost, and it gives life, as in 1 Peter 3:7, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Jesus brought this deeper depth of Spirit, called grace, into the world. John 1:17, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Zechariah 12:10 prophesied of the Spirit of grace, and Hebrews 10:29 again refers to the Spirit of grace. Salt is symbolic of instruction. When God delivered Lot and his family out of Sodom, he instructed them not to look back. Lot's wife looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt because she failed to follow God's instructions. That story is found in Genesis 19. And Mark 9:49 says, "For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt." People are not going to be literally salted with literal fire. Jeremiah 23:29 says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord?" So fire is God's word, and that is what we are to be salted or instructed with. The sacrifice mentioned in Mark 9:49, "Every sacrifice shall be salted with salt," it couldn't be literal. Since the New Testament abolished animal sacrifices, the sacrifice is spiritual, as in Romans 12:1, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." This scripture is not saying we're to sacrifice our physical bodies. It is saying our mind, the mental body of information, should be given to God to work through. That is how every sacrifice or mind will be salted or instructed by God's word. We should allow God to instruct us on what to say, and our words should be in a grace depth of spirit so that they will give life to the hearer. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." By getting words in a grace depth of spirit within our mind, we can have life. But also those same words, when spoken to others, plants life within them. As Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." He said that in John 6:63. The words Jesus spoke were God's words, as in John 12:49 and 50, where he said, "I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Jesus was only going to speak God's words and nothing else. A similar statement was made by a prophet whose name was Balaam. Balaam said unto Balak, "Lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak." We read that in the book of Numbers, chapter 22. Again, this shows we should be led by God concerning when to speak and what to speak when we are representing Him. Titus 2:1 says, "But speak those things which become sound doctrine." God wants us to speak doctrine that is sound, consistent, uncrossable. Only by studying God's word line upon line, as it says in Isaiah 28:10, can we rightly divide His word. We're taught in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Then, when God gives us the inspiration to speak, the message will be consistent and easy to be understood, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:9, "So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue, words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air." The words we speak must be a clear and understandable message. God desires for us to speak His words how and when He wants us to speak them. This is acceptable and pleasing to Him, as it says in Hebrews 13:15, "By Him," meaning Christ, "let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name." The only way the words we speak can give thanks or refreshing to God is if they are His words spoken in His order, as it says in Proverbs 15:23, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is." If we are being led by God within our mind, then He can show us whether it is the season for preaching, for teaching, for building up, or tearing down, as it says in Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. That's what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We need to allow God to teach us His seasons and what to say, because He's the only one who knows what any person needs to hear and the particular words that would witness to any soul. Not only is it important to speak true words, but the motive for speaking them must be love, as it tells us in James 3:2, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. The bridle is symbolic of our motive. It directs the actions of our body. The body we're speaking of is not our physical body. We're speaking of the mental body within our mind, the body of information we carry around. Our motive for speaking God's word must be love, as it tells us in Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, or else it will offend. If our motive is evil, not love, then we can offend whatever amount of God someone has, and we can cause that soul to stumble. On the other hand, if love motivates us, then God can speak through us with edifying words to help another soul. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, which is just another word for love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. This shows just how important the motive of love is. If we are speaking with tongues of men, which means languages that men can understand, and our motive is not right, then our words are of no profit to anyone. Likewise, if we are speaking with the tongues of angels, a language which only God and His holy angels understand, but we're speaking without the motive of love, that will also be unprofitable. Whether we are speaking to man or to God, our motive must be love, or it will not profit, as it tells us in Proverbs 28:9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. If a person claims to be religious and yet is not able to control the words coming out of his or her mouth, that person's religion is vain, as in James 1:26. It is of no profit to speak God's words with wrong motive. God's words, when spoken with an evil intent, can be just as deadly as any other words spoken with an evil intent. God stresses how important it is that we speak His words one to another, as in Deuteronomy 11:18-19. Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. When we speak God's words, we are actually sowing eternal life to another person. Our very life depends upon the words that we have in our mind, as it tells us in Deuteronomy 32:47. God's word is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. James 1:19 says to us, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. This scripture tells us we need to have our minds open to God to instruct us on what to say. God could speak to us within our very own mind or through another vessel. Either way, if we're not open to instruction, God cannot give us the words He wants us to speak. Ecclesiastes 5:1-2 says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. There is a ministry available to teach us how to examine the words that we have within our mind. After discerning and separating the good from the evil, we can be taught how to completely rid our mind of the evil.